The rank clambered awkwardly across the damp rooftops as the morning mist was boiled off by the sun. Not that there would be any clear air today. Sticky swathes of smoke and stale steam wreathed the city and filled the air with the sad smell of dampened cinders. "What is this place?" said Carrot, helping the others along a greasy walkway. Sergeant Colon looked around at the forest of chimneys. "We're just above Jimkin Bearhugger's whiskey distillery," he said, "on a direct line, see, between the palace and the plaza. It's bound to fly over here." Nobby looked wistfully over the side of the building. "I've been in there once," he said. "Checked the door one dark night, and it just came open in me hand." "Eventually, I expect," said Colon, sourly. "Well, I had to go in, didn't I, to check there was no miscreanting going on. Amazing place in there, all pipes and stuff. And the smell!" "Every bottle matured for up to 7 minutes," quoted Colon. "Have a drop before you go," it says on the label. "Damn right, too. I had a drop once, and I went all day." He knelt down and unwrapped the long sacking passage he had been manhandling with extreme difficulty during the climb. This revealed a longbow of ancient design and a quiver of arrows. He picked up the bow slowly, reverentially, and ran his pudgy fingers along it. "You know," he said quietly, "I was damn good with this when I were a lad. The captain should have let me have a go with it the other night."
"You keep on telling us," said Nobby unsympathetically.
"Well, I used to win prizes." The sergeant unwound a new bowstring, looped it around one end of the bow, stood up, pressed down, grunted a bit.
Carrot," he said, slightly out of breath.
"Yes, Sarge?"
"You any good at stringing bows?"
Carrot grasped the bow, compressed it easily, and slipped the other end of the string into place.
"That's a good start, Sarge," said Nobby.
"Don't you be sarcastic with me, Nobby. It ain't strength, it's keenness of eye and steadiness of hand that counts. Now you pass me an arrow. Not that one."
Nobby's fingers froze in the act of grasping a shaft.
"That's my lucky arrow," spluttered Colon. "None of you is to touch my lucky arrow."
"Looks just like any other bloody arrow to me, Sarge," said Nobby, mildly.
"That's the one I shall use for the actual what's-her-name, the coup de grace," said Colon. "Never let me down, my lucky arrow didn't. Hit whatever I shot at. Hardly even had to aim. If that dragon's got any vulnerables, that arrow will find him."
He selected an identical-looking but presumably less lucky arrow and knocked it. Then he looked around the rooftops with a speculative eye.
"Better get my hand in," he muttered. "Of course, once you learn, you never forget. It's like riding a... riding something you never forget being able to ride."
He pulled the bowstring back to his ear and grunted.
"Right," he wheezed, as his arm trembled with the tension like a branch in a gale. "See the roof of the Assassin's Guild over there?"
They peered through the grubby air.
"Right then," said Colon. "And d'ye see the weather vane on it? D'ye see it?"
Carrot glanced at the arrowhead. It was weaving back and forth in a series of figure eights.
"It's a long way off, Sarge," said Nobby, doubtfully.
"Never you mind me. You keep an eye on the weather vane,"
groaned the sergeant. They nodded. The weather vane was in the shape of a creeping man with a big cloak. His outstretched dagger was always turned to stab the wind. At this distance, though, it was tiny.
"Okay," panted Colon. "Now, d'ye see the man's eye?"
"Oh, come on," said Nobby.
"Shut up, shut up, shut up," groaned Colon. "Do you see it, I said?"
"I think I can see it, Sarge," said Carrot, loyally.
"Right, right," said the sergeant, swaying backwards and forwards with effort. "Right, good lad, okay. Now, keep an eye on it, all right?"
He grunted and loosed the arrow. Several things happened so fast that they will have to be recounted in stop-motion prose. Probably the first was the bowstring slapping into the soft inner part of Colon's wrist, causing him to scream and drop the bow. This had no effect on the path of the arrow, which was already flying straight and true towards a gargoyle on the rooftop just across the road. It hit it on the ear, bounced, ricocheted off a wall 6 feet away, and headed back towards Colon, apparently at a slightly increased speed, going past his ear with a silky humming noise. It vanished in the direction of the city walls. After a while, Nobby coughed and gave Carrot a look of innocent inquiry.
"About how big," he said, "is a dragon's vulnerables, roughly?"
"Oh, it can be a tiny spot," said Carrot helpfully.
"I was sort of afraid of that," said Nobby.
He wandered to the edge of the roof and pointed downwards. "There's a pond just there," he said. "They use it for cooling water in the stills. I reckon it's pretty deep, so after the sergeant has shot at the dragon, we can jump in it. What do you say?"